Welcome to First Open Bible in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. My name is Pastor Harris, and I'm the lead pastor, if you like it or not. Sometimes I don't like it. That's just real. Hallelujah. Happy Pentecost, everyone, and happy June. Praise God, 70 degree weather, way better than it has been in the past. We finally are getting summer going. Praise God. In the month of May, our sermon series was titled, Follow Me, A Call to Surrender. This month, we're starting a new series titled, Pentecost, Holy Spirit Come. Happy Pentecost, everyone. Now, we learned last month that there is no life more secure than a life that is surrendered to God. Jesus said to his followers 2,000 years ago in Matthew 4:19, he said to them, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Following Jesus is not only a call to action, it's a state of being. It's a state of thinking, it's a state of seeing, it's a state of feeling. That's why I like Pentecostal churches. It's not just, you know, I grew up in a very, very traditional church where it's like we did stuff, but I never felt a thing. Right? The only thing I felt was bored and tired. And I never understood that, okay? I don't know if this is your church or not, but if you ever go to a church and it's not like heaven, what are you doing? Right? You think in heaven you're just going to sit there and it's going to be boring. Yep, the angels are singing again. The elders are, oh, look at there, right by the throne again. Oh, look at all the glorious things and how bright it is. Woo, I have a banqueting table. I can eat and not get love handles. Praise God, whatever, right? No, man, heaven is incredible. We don't even have a word for heaven to describe it. There is nothing, right? And Jesus tells us we can have heaven here on earth. So I think that needs to happen at church, right? If it's not happening at church, where is it happening at? The government? No way. No way. Unfortunately, it once did when our nation was started. You know, following Jesus is not just a call to action. It's a state of feeling, a state of seeing, a state of being, a state of thinking. It's a state of transformation. Following Jesus is transformative in every aspect of that word. So how do you follow Jesus in a transformed way? That's a great question. How do you put actions to your words? Right? That's the problem with a lot of believers. You're all words, no action. Who cares what you think if you're not doing what you say? Nobody cares. Now you are the government. I will not raise taxes, please. How are you going to profess your faith? How are you going to be the hands and feet of God? I know how. I have an answer. By the power and the leading of the Holy Ghost. That's how. By God's glory for His glory. Galatians 5:25 says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. I pray as you choose to follow Jesus, church, you'll be empowered, you'll be filled, and you'll be led by the Holy Spirit. I hope you understand just how important God's presence is in your life. I hope you understand that. Now, I've prayed over every single one of you for this morning, that you would meet God in a new and powerful way this morning. I did. I prayed that for all of you, that you would feel and experience God's glory today. Man, I love it when creation encounters the Creator. Now, I've seen some incredible things in my lifetime. I've personally seen God transform, deliver, heal, and set people free by just one touch. I've personally seen God transform, deliver, heal, and set people free with what? One word from God. I can preach 1,000 awesome sermons, but one word from God will transform you. When the Holy Spirit fills the room, we have heaven here on earth. Did you come this morning expecting to experience His glory? Did you come this morning expecting to experience God's glory? Did you come ready to encounter God's presence? Then you will. Then you will. In the Old Testament, God's people encountered the Shekinah glory of God. What a cool word. Shekinah is an English transliteration of a Hebrew word meaning dwelling, or it means settling. It is the dwelling or settling of the divine presence of God. In Jewish thinking, Shekinah usually meant God's dwelling in or resting upon those whom He favored. While God's Shekinah glory implies His holiness, or it implies His divine favor, it also talks about His divine visitation, His divine presence, His divine dwelling on earth. Basically, there's two ways to look at the presence of God. First way to look at God's presence is this way: His omnipresence. He is everywhere, whether we can sense Him or not. That's how it works. Here's the second one: God's manifest presence. He is revealed wherever He makes Himself real to you. God manifests Himself through any of our natural senses. Has anybody ever had a touch from God before and you can't explain it, but you know? There ain't no book, nobody, no woke person, no government, no devil, no sin in my life that I can't say that God did not touch me. Does anybody like that today? Raise your hand. That you know God touched you somehow. I can't explain it, but you ain't talking me out of it. You know, in the Bible, there's many, many examples of God's manifest presence. I'm just going to give you a little bit. How about Elijah when he was standing at the opening of the cave waiting for God's presence? 1 Kings 19:11-13 says this: "Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And Elijah stood there, and the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. And there's such a tremble blast that the rocks were torn loose. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. Can you imagine being on top of a mountain, like in a cleft, and there's an earthquake? You think, uh-oh, this is it. God told me to go up here because I'm about to meet Him. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. As you say in Arkansas, where we lived for a little while, fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, right? And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And the voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" God also visited Elijah when he challenged the 400 prophets of Baal at a showdown. Guess who won? You can read that in 1 Kings chapter 18. God's powerful presence in the Old Testament was in and around the Ark of the Covenant. God's presence in the Old Testament was in and around the tabernacle of God in the Holy of Holies. We also see that in the Old Testament, God's direct visitation, His manifest presence, happened when the Lord appeared as a fire coming down from heaven. When King Solomon dedicated the first temple. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1 says this: "When Solomon finished praying, fire flashed down from heaven and burned up." Can you imagine? "The burnt offerings and sacrifices and the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple." Wow. A fire, a literal fire from heaven, right? It couldn't be literal if it didn't burn up the offerings, right? Right? Literal means it actually happened, like what it says actually means it said that happened. Otherwise, it would be like a fire, and then all of a sudden the offering was gone, right? No, it was burned up. Moses had the most personal visitations. Moses encountered the Shekinah glory more than anyone in the Old Testament. And it started with a burning bush in the desert. Then Moses led a time when God had divine judgment for everyone who didn't have the lamb's blood on their doorposts. If they didn't have the blood, every firstborn child and the firstborn animal was killed. But everyone who had the blood of the lamb was protected. We call this the first Passover. Led by Moses, the Israelites got out of bondage from Pharaoh and the Egyptian slave owners, and God's chosen people wandered the wilderness. But God went before them as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire at night. I know we just read over that. Think about that. You don't have a lamp. Like, this little light of mine is a fire from heaven. Every night, there's the fire from heaven. We should follow that. The ultimate bug zapper. Hallelujah. I know y'all think about those gnats when he came in. Man, they're bad right now. There was another amazing time. Moses came down from a mountain with the Ten Commandments, and he was glowing. Glowing. He was the first glow-in-the-dark thing ever made. Because he was standing in God's incredible presence. Exodus 34, 29 and 30 says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai carrying the two stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant, he wasn't aware that his face had become radiant because he had spoken to the Lord. Verse 30, so when Aaron and the people of Israel saw the radiance of Moses' face, they were afraid to come near him. No one had more personal knowledge of God's glory better than Moses until a baby was born in a town called Bethlehem. The prophet Isaiah prophesied Jesus' birth 30 times, 700 years before Christ showed up in a manger in Bethlehem. The angel spoke to Joseph, who was Jesus' earthly father here on earth, and the angels told him that this newborn son was to be called what? Do you remember? Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Jesus coming and proclaiming that he was Emmanuel is the most significant evidence of God's Shekinah glory, God's incredible, tangible presence. The Jewish encyclopedia describes Shekinah as this: the created splendor of light, which sometimes takes on human form. When Jesus was born, God in the second person of the Trinity, when Jesus took on flesh and came to dwell, came to Shekinah among us, this is what John 1:14 says, so the word became human, or the word became flesh, and made his home among us. He was full of the unfailing love and faithfulness, right? We love God's faithfulness, and we love God's forgiveness, but the next part here in this verse is, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son, Shekinah glory. In one amazing moment, the invisible had become visible. Shekinah glory on earth was no longer in a cloud or a pillar of fire or a glorious light or just in the Ark of the Covenant or just in one temple of stone. Shekinah glory is now a person. The person of Jesus Christ. Jesus was fully God and fully man at the same time. Colossians 2:9 says this, "For in Christ lives all the full," say all, church. "For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body." Jesus was the presence of God on earth, Shekinah glory. Disciples that lived in Jesus' time knew very well what Shekinah glory is. They knew it was God himself. They knew it was God's glory. They knew it was his presence. They associated Jesus as the manifestation of God's glory. And their belief was solidified after Jesus' transfiguration. Matthew 17, 1 and 2. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter and the two brothers, James and John, and led them up a high mountain to be alone. As the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed so that his face shone like the sun and his clothes became as white as light. Once again, God revealed his glory to men. The transfiguration convinced the disciples that Jesus is the promised Messiah, who is the light of the world. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. Amen? Jesus is the perfect expression of Shekinah glory. In the Old Testament, the Israelites had the physical presence of the Shekinah glory in different kinds of manifestations. When Jesus was born, God came to dwell with his creation in a human form. It was a human manifestation of his glory. He came not only to dwell among them, but Jesus came to save them. He came in as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Incredible. Jesus will again return, church, but not as a lamb this time. He's coming back as a lion, the Lion of Judah. Amen. It'll be the second and the last time the Messiah comes. But church, don't get hung up there. Until he does come back, God's glory is still here on earth. His glory, his Shekinah glory, his dwelling, his resting upon us is now because of the promise of the Father, the promise from on high, the promise of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit is here. See, Jesus lived, he led, and he died, and he rose from the grave. Then he showed himself to many of his followers for 40 days before he was to go to the Father and sit down at the right hand of God. While Jesus was with those followers in the last moments, Jesus gave instructions, very, very important instructions, before Jesus ascended into heaven. This is what he said in Acts 1, 4, and 5. He said, "After being assembled together with them, he commanded them to not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.' For John," that's John the Baptist, "truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." See, this is reference to what Jesus said previously, and we can find that in Luke. Jesus said in Luke 24, 49, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry," another word for wait, "in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Jesus, Emmanuel, God's glory on earth, knew he was about to ascend into heaven. Jesus also knew his followers needed the promise from the Father. Amen for that. Jesus also knew that we needed the Holy Spirit. Jesus knew we still need God's presence to dwell with us today. I believe he's even interceding for that. It says that he's right there interceding for us. Christ knew the Shekinah glory is coming to dwell not only with his creation, but that his presence would also dwell in his creation. Church, when Christ died, the veil was torn. Did you hear me? Do you remember that? We read about that. When Jesus died on the cross, there was an earthquake, there was darkness, but the veil was torn, not from the bottom to the top, but from the top to the bottom. The same veil that kept God's presence from God's people. Access to God's manifest presence on earth is now no longer only for the high priest one time a year. The veil has been torn, church, two words. Access granted. Come on now. Somebody got to do a little dance. Whoa, Pastor. Access granted. I got a shimmy or something. I mean, that should make your heart and your soul and your spirit just like, ooh, I got to do something. God, you're that good that you would give me Jesus to save my life from eternal death. But not only that, you tear the veil that now I have access not only to your presence when I get to heaven, but I can have access to presence here on earth. Are you kidding me? Woo, I got to shake and shimmy for that, right? That's crazy. Who am I to deserve that? I'm nothing except I'm all everything I need when I have God in my life, because I'm God's son or you're God's daughter. Amen? He loves you. Access to God's manifest presence on earth is now no longer just for one person known as the high priest one time a year. And you don't have to tie something around your ankle and hope that you are not full of sin. And then when you walk in, you're like, oh, God, forgive me. Walk in and it's like, oops, I forgot one. Dead. All right, next year we'll try again. Fish them out. See, the veil has been torn. Access has been granted. The temple that held God's presence was about to find a new home. Presence of God, the promise from on high, the power of God, the Shekinah glory is now found in fleshly temples. No longer a tabernacle made of stone, but now tabernacles made of flesh. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says this, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own." At the moment of your salvation, you become a temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm dropping some doctrine bombs on you this morning that I hope is encouraging not only your everyday life, but your spirit and soul. Because you are filled with the Holy Spirit at the day of your salvation. But some of y'all are going to get saturated as well today. From the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, all the way out to your fingertips, you're going to feel the anointing and the power and the presence of God like you've never felt before. He's going to touch you in a new and marvelous way. I'm about to learn about that in just a moment. See, God, through his Spirit, he indwells in us. Just like God's Spirit came and filled the Holy of Holies. Think about this. Get this around your head if you can. Just like God's Spirit came and filled the Holy of Holies with Shekinah glory, he now fills you because of the promise of Pentecost. God has always desired to dwell or to tabernacle among his people. We find in the Old Testament in Exodus, we see that it is God. It was God himself who first expressed There is no other God on this planet or ever has been on this planet that ever said, has ever said, oh, I want to dwell. I want to be with my people, right? No, all the other gods say, bow down to me or I will smite you. Or sacrifice something absolutely horrible like babies and you can worship me. In Exodus, we see that it was God who first expressed his desire to dwell among men, instructing Moses to tell the people to construct a sanctuary for him that he may dwell among them. Exodus 25, 8 and 9 says this, have the people of Israel build me a holy sanctuary so I can live among them. Wow. You must build this tabernacle and its furnishings exactly according to the pattern I will show you. Shekinah glory is the majestic presence or manifestation of God in which he descends or dwells among his creation. Now, I love this. Whenever the invisible God becomes visible, and whenever the omnipresence of God is localized, this is Shekinah glory. Let me say that again for you. Whenever the invisible God becomes visible, and wherever the omnipresence of God is localized, this is Shekinah glory. I know a lot of you loved going to Brownsville, loved going to the Toronto Blessings. See, those are Shekinah glory spots for a certain amount of time. But you've been desiring what God has had in the past, and God is saying, get out of that. I have something new. Do you not see it? It has already begun. You want the fresh fire of your father's fire, but God doesn't work that way. God's bringing a fresh fire for you today. See, God can and does and will show himself to you personally. He makes himself real to your spirit. When you know God and he speaks to your heart, when you feel his weightiness, when you feel his love, when you feel his presence and his peace and his power, that's when you're experiencing the manifest presence of God. That's when you are feeling the Shekinah glory. Believers, after the first Pentecost, something far better came. I know this is hard to think about, but think about this. I don't have this in here, but God just reminded my heart of this, right? You have to hide God's word in your heart, and then he's like, boop, that's a good time. Here it is. Boop, here it is. Jesus said it's better that I go. Lamb of God? Son of God, it's better that you go? How is that possible? When you're here, all things are okay. What? It's because if Jesus was still here right now in a manifest form and God's presence was, Shekinah glory was in him only, all of us would have to experience God's presence by flying to Israel, Jerusalem, and meeting with him. Do you get that? But Jesus said, it's better that I go to the Father because he's sending another, a counselor. He's sending the power of God. Why? Because God's manifest presence, his Shekinah glory, doesn't have to stay in a person. He can be in all believers. It's better that I go. Jesus said, we'll even do greater things than him. What? It doesn't mean that you're going to do greater miracles. It means you're going to do it to a greater capacity. Because one person can do so much, but millions, filled with the same Spirit of God that rose him from the grave, the same Spirit that lives in you, millions and millions of people can do better and greater things than Jesus because of the mass amount. You sell yourself so short, it's unreal. I do too. Jesus believed in us and believed in the power, the presence of the living God inside of us. We should too. Believers, after the first Pentecost, something far better came. Far better than the Shekinah glory of the Old Testament. See, the glory of God in the Old Testament in the tabernacle was seen only by the priest of the house of Aaron once a year. Then the glory of God was found in the person of Jesus Christ only when he walked those 33 and a half years on earth before he ascended to heaven. But now the promise of God's presence, the promise of the Holy Spirit, came down on Pentecost. The Spirit of the living God came down and rested upon and in the followers of Jesus. God's powerful glory came upon his beloved children. 50 days. In case you're wondering what Pentecost means, it means 50. It's not some fancy thing, it just means 50, right? 50 days after Christ's resurrection from the dead, Pentecost came. In that experience, God's Shekinah glory came by tongues of fire, came by wind, came by filling the incredible boldness, and it rested upon all of them. Acts 2, 1 and 4 says, 1 through 4 says this. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house. Man, it was way crazier than derecho. Right? You think anybody filed an insurance claim after that? I don't know. Anyway. Suddenly, bring it back, Pastor Harris. You're crazy right now. Verse 2. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were all sitting. Then what looked like to be flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone was present. Everyone that was present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. In case you're wondering, this is a Pentecostal church. One of our favorite sections of Scripture is right there. We love it. We don't go Matthew, Mark, Luke, John and skip the next book. Man, we're like, no, we rest in that next book. Right here, we have the birth of the church. By the way, happy birthday, church. It's the first Pentecost in the upper room. Shekinah glory, the manifest presence of God, came upon the 120 in the upper room and changed the world forever. Church, I don't want you to get hung up on the individual phenomenons of the wind, the fire, and the speaking in tongues. Right? A lot of times we desire the gifts and not the gift giver, and you got it backwards. Gifts are never good if you don't have the giver that gave them to you. You won't know how to use it. You don't know how to use the gift if you don't ask the gift giver. Don't get hung up on those manifestations. I want you to get hung up on the most important thing, and here's what it is. This is the most important thing about that day. God's manifest presence, God's Shekinah glory, God's presence from heaven came down as Jesus promised, as God the Father promised would happen, came from heaven, and it dwelled upon and in his followers. That is the most important thing. Every believer received a greater degree of God's manifest presence in their lives. All of them were experiencing God's Shekinah glory, and they were experiencing it personally. They experienced God's presence here on earth in a tangible way. And because of their obedience and faith, they became God's tabernacles. God's presence was with them, yes. A lot of times we pray, God, may your presence go with me. But God's presence was also in them. Mark Batterson, a pastor and author, he says it like this, quote, Jesus at Bethlehem is God with us, right? Emmanuel. At Calvary, he is God for us. At Pentecost, he is God in us, end quote. Let me give you some biblical doctrine this morning before I close. You ready? Three people. The rest of you just shut it off. I know you're getting, it's going to be so boring. You're going to learn stuff about the Bible. Holy Spirit thing. Are you ready for some biblical doctrine this morning? Okay. Good, good, good. Hey, Hey, okay, Pentecostals. All right. The Spirit of God is mentioned over 800 times in the Bible. The first time the Spirit of God is mentioned is in the second verse in the entire Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is not an it or a mystical power. He is a person. He's part of the Godhead, part of the triune God that dwells around us and in us. The Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, or the Spirit of God, is the third person of the Trinity. The triune God manifested as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Church, when you pray, I want to ask you a question. Do you pray to the Father in heaven? Do you? Jesus says, pray this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, right? So if you ain't praying to the Father in heaven, you didn't even learn the actual prayer that Jesus said, pray this way. So do you pray to the Father in heaven? Yes? Or should you at least? Do you pray and thank Jesus for what he's done? Thank you, Jesus, for what you did on the cross. Thank you for saving me. Thank you that you're coming back soon and you're taking away all the evil of the world and you're sending the devil to the lake of fire where he deserves to be. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. I didn't deserve it, but you did it for me. I don't know what love is until I met you. That kind of deal. Have you ever done that before? Well, then shouldn't you be talking to the Holy Spirit as well? I'm sorry, all you traditional people coming from different backgrounds in here today, but I want to teach you the Bible. I remember when I grew up, that would have been heresy, no pun intended. Pastor Harris, in case you didn't get it, right? Heresy, okay. You're welcome. Some of y'all are like, whoop! Hey, okay, I see what you did. Okay. But shouldn't you be talking to the Holy Spirit as well? We should have communion with the Holy Spirit just like we have communion with the other two parts of the Godhead. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is God. The Spirit of God is not lesser. He's not a different kind of God than God the Father or God the Son, Jesus. He is not different. The Holy Spirit is a person who has a personal relationship not only with believers, us. He also has a personal relationship with the Father and the Son. If you ever wonder why, like, why do we got to meet together? Even God likes to have fellowship. There's three in one. How does that work? I don't know. I can't get my head around that, but, you know, my feeble mind won't understand until I'm in the glory of God, and then I'll realize, oh, that's how it works, right? Yeah, the Trinity, how does that work? I don't know. It's hard to understand. But the Spirit of God is not lesser. He's not a different kind of God. The Bible tells us in John chapter 14, verse 17, Jesus is telling us he is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. You want to know what truth is? You better ask the Holy Ghost, right? If you're reading the Word of God and you're like, I don't understand it, have you asked the Holy Spirit to be your guide? Will you teach me these words? Because I don't quite understand it. The Bible says he leads us into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. Now that ain't, if that ain't the truth, I don't know what isn't. Quit worshiping yourself and maybe our country be a little bit better, okay? That's the whole reason why it's a hot mess, because you only worship yourself. It'll never end. You just go, But this is what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. That's another prophetic word about Pentecost. The Spirit dwells with us and will be in us. This calls us to a relationship with the Spirit. This should immediately defeat our thoughts and how we treat the Holy Spirit as this power to be harnessed, right? Oh, Holy Spirit, right? Like a Super Saiyan, whoa, you know. We laugh, but that's kind of how a lot of us, when I grew up, that's what I thought. He's either this floating ghost guy, woo, or he's, if you just pray hard enough and you just say enough right words and you put, at the end of it, Jesus, all the time, then the Holy Spirit will show up. Or if you tarry, even though God didn't say tarry, but if you just wait and wait and wait and wait, and you just, you're like you're going to tell God what to do. You don't tell God what to do. He tells us what he's going to do. That's not how it works. You cannot treat the Holy Spirit as some power to be harnessed, some mystical force that can't be comprehended, because the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is eternal. He is holy. He has promised to Christ's disciples that he will be with us forever. Jesus tells us in John 14:16, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you," church, say that word, "forever." Whew. A lot of you are wondering, where is God? Where is he in my life? What has he been doing? Where has he been? How'd I go through that and he wasn't around? No, he has never left you. He has never forsaken you. Although Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, Jesus said that my Father sending another. It's the presence of the living God. It is God's presence here on earth. And if you are a believer and you truly say, Jesus is my Savior and he is the Lord of my life, and you're not following your own ways, but you're following his ways, God not only has not left you, he's actually in you. Where has God been? In you. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the living God here on earth. The Holy Spirit is the Shekinah glory. The Holy Spirit is God's presence, God's glory here on earth. Last little section here before I just ask God what he wants to do. Today's Christianity is hopeless. I'm pausing for effect. Today's Christianity is hopeless without the person of the Holy Spirit. Hopeless. Hopeless without God's manifest presence here on earth. It's one thing to say, Jesus, thank you for saving me. It's another thing to walk with Jesus. Do you hear me? It's one thing. See, Jesus didn't just say, receive me, and then everything's done. He said, no, come and follow me. That's why some of y'all in here and some of y'all watching online, you think that God's not moving in his life because you haven't followed him. You said a prayer and you live how you want. Until you follow him, he's not going to make himself known in your life. But once you follow him, he will be everywhere at every moment, at everything that you ever do. He will fill you. He will lead you. He will be your power. And when you are weak, he is strong. And when you are down, he will lift you up. And when you are sick, he will heal you. And when you don't know what to do, he will give you the answer. Utterance inside of you will come forth, and the Spirit of the living God will speak prayers that you don't understand, but they'll be perfect prayers to heaven. And when you don't know what to do or where to go, his Spirit will lead you. That's how it works, right? Those Christians are crazy, yes. There's not a non-crazy person on this planet. It's just, what are you crazy for? It's what you're crazy for. I love the Ducks, and I've been to a game before. Those people are nuts. You know who are the most craziest football people ever? Foxworth, the Cheeseheads. No, there's worse. There's worse. It's the Raiders. Those guys are nuts. They dress up like death and they have all this stuff. Like that's going to do anything, bro. You look ridiculous. You're wearing a ton of makeup and you look crazy. Like, where did you even buy that stuff? Well, last Halloween. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, I got you. But seriously, you are going to be crazy for something. What are you crazy for? You're going to be a fan for something. What are you a fan to? So why are you afraid to pray and preach? And why are you afraid to do things that God says you can do? Why are you afraid to lay hands on people? You ain't as crazy as you need to be. But today you can be filled with the power of God, right? Today you can be led. You can be saturated from God's presence like 2,000 years ago on that day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is the Shekinah glory. The Holy Spirit is God's presence here on earth. And without God's presence, we are hopeless as believers. Church cannot be the church without God's Spirit. If we downgrade the Holy Spirit, worse yet, if we ignore the Holy Spirit, or even the worst of all, if we grieve or quench the Holy Spirit, we will end up with a modern life that is totally foreign to the New Testament. Why are churches failing? Why is there wokeism? Because they ain't got the Holy Ghost, that's why. Why do you not know if homosexuality is wrong or killing babies is wrong? Or why do you not know these things? It's because you aren't filled with the Holy Ghost. If you don't know what the world says, well, maybe I should give more to Caesar than to God, right? You ain't filled with the Holy Ghost. If you don't know right or wrong, if you don't have the love of God, if you don't see somebody in need and fulfill that need, you ain't filled with the Holy Ghost. You ain't filled with Him. You're walking in flesh. If you're confused, your mind has not been set on higher things. You haven't let God wash your head and your mind with the Word of God. You don't have a mind of Christ. If you can't see something and know that the God in you wants to do something, you ain't filled with the Holy Ghost. But you can be if you're a believer of Jesus. The world is not as confusing as you keep thinking it is. There is black and white when it comes to the truth. It's actually black, white, and red. Come on, now that was from God. That was good. I even sat, I was like, ooh, that's good. That's how I know it's God. If it's really good and I'm preaching really good, it ain't me, it's God. Because that was good, that was God, that was not me. But it's black, white, and red. If you want to know what to do and how to do it and what to say and what not to say and how to be and how to act, it's in black, white, and red. And don't be a Bible thumper, okay? Don't be sitting there just, ooh, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. Sinners sin. That literally is the definition. Don't expect all these people, right? Don't expect Joe Biden to be led by the Spirit of God. He is not filled with the Holy Ghost. He ain't. Anybody who sits in these positions and does things of the world is not filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be mad about that. Sinners sin. Do something about it. What can you do locally? What can you do in your life? What can you do in the school systems? What can you do? Can you write a letter? Can you get involved? Can you do something? Right? You're filled with the Holy Spirit. Do something. We just sit around and complain, right? We fill a pew and we just complain. My wife read something funny that somebody put on there. It's like, well, I pray in the Holy Spirit. Yeah, and you gossip in English. Woo! Do something, church! Come on now. It's your birthday. Don't cry if you want to. Get doing something. All right, I'm getting back on track. Finish this up. See, the problem is too many Christians today are living like everyone else on earth. They fall into the same sins. They're gripped with the same fear and the same doubt. You're just as prejudiced as anyone else. You want to see a world come together? And it better look like that here on Sunday morning. Every color, every nation, every tongue, every tribe better be here. We better not care the age, the sex, the color of skin. It don't matter. We're all worshiping the King of Kings. There ain't going to be segregation in heaven. There should not be segregation here. It don't matter denomination. We should come together preaching the gospel of Jesus coming on a Sunday morning. Some people said the most segregated time of the whole entire week is a Sunday morning, but not at First Open Bible. I pray that there will not be that. People walk in and see unity that they can never explain, that the world can never give, because that's the way it was on the day of Pentecost. It didn't matter who it was or what it was. They even spoke other languages they had never heard. They were preaching to people in a town that they probably haven't been in a while, in a section of people that it spoke to all nations and tribes, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit, saying things they don't even know what they were saying. And some people said, oh, they drunk. No, dude, it's like the morning time. They ain't drunk yet. That's bad, right? No, they weren't drunk. Well, what they did say afterwards, they said, oh, those people right there, they've been with Jesus. They've been with God, right? We need that again, Lord. People will recognize that we have been with God. Not living like just anyone else. So many people are living a life of defeat instead of fulfillment. Man, the things that are coming out of your mouth are so destructive, it's insane. Your situation is what it is because sometimes it's the way you speak about it. See, there's evidence of more worry and fear than there is victory and joy in their lives because you're not filled. Here's the reason. You're not living with the promise of God's power from on high. They're living without God's Spirit. They're living without Shekinah glory in their life. What's missing today is something from heaven itself. We are missing the Holy Spirit that fills and floods our lives. We are missing the glory of God upon God's people. We are missing the glory of God upon God's people. We need the Holy Spirit to come. Church, we cannot desire the fire from the old days. Cannot desire the fire from the old days. We need a fresh fire. We need a fresh touch from God. We need the glory of God evident in our life. And where the Spirit of God is, there will be evidence. There will be. God's presence here on earth is the promised gift from our Father in heaven. People think they need to do something to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But if you earn a gift, it's not a gift. That's called payment. Did you hear me? All my doers, did you hear me? I'm a doer as well. If you think you earned this gift, it's no longer a gift. It's just like salvation. You didn't earn it. You never will. You'll never be good enough for salvation. That's why it's called grace and mercy. That's why we got forgiveness. What you need to do for this gift of the promise from on high, the gift of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, the gift of Shekinah glory in your life, you have to desire it. You have to yearn for it. You have to eagerly desire and go after this gift of God's presence. How do you do that? Number one, you must yield. You must surrender to God by faith. It's not my will, but your will be done. I surrender my life to you. Not only the negative things of my life, but the positive things of my life. Not only my negative bank account, but my positive bank account. Not only my bad things, right? A lot of times we go to God because things are going bad, but you got to go to God in all things. He's not a genie. He's God. First thing, yield, surrender to him by faith. Number two, you have to ask for the baptism by faith. It's a gift. It's just like salvation. You must ask God for his presence to fill you. God, I come to you broken, surrendered. And I got a lot in my life. Got a lot of things. I'm broken. But I surrender to you. Not only do I surrender to you, I ask that you would fill me with your presence. Because I need to be led by you. I'm tired of leading myself because I keep running into brick walls. I need you, God. And the third thing is this, and it's not always like this, but it is a common practice in the Bible, laying on of hands. When Paul placed his hands on them, Acts 19:6, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. See, what that means is there was a manifestation. There was evidence of the power of God. Some of you is like, man, how did I fall out in the Spirit of God? Because God's presence was so powerful, you couldn't stand. It's happened in the Bible. It happened when they came to arrest Jesus. And Jesus said, are you the one? He said, I am. And if you read it in there, there was tons of guards, and they all went, bam, out. Read it. I always give Pentecostals this weird thing. Dude, we're just trying to follow the Bible. We don't say, it's not for now. Why not? I don't ever remember reading in here that it stopped. You know what? This Bible says it's actually going to be even better. It says that his Spirit's going to be poured upon all flesh. In the last days, dreams, signs, wonders, miracles, visions, in the last days. So why would we think it stops? It might even be greater before he comes, even if it's with a remnant. That's what the Bible teaches. When God's Spirit comes upon you, there will be a manifestation. There will be evidence. When the Holy Spirit fills this room, we will have heaven here on earth. We will have Shekinah glory. He will fill this room. That's what I'm going to pray right now. If you want to stand, you can stand. If you want to sit, you can sit. But right now, you better get yourself, if you can lower the lights, get yourself in a posture and a position to just ask God to fill you. Brent, will you come? I just want you to come. Just Brent only. I'm going to pray a prayer, and then I'm going to listen to what God wants before we close. If you have to go, go, but you will miss out. I'm going to pray that the Shekinah glory is going to come upon you in an amazing way. But like I said, it's a gift. You have to desire it, you have to yearn for it, and you have to ask God for it. And I may or may not lay hands on you, but that's not always how it has to be. I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. There wasn't a single person around. The Bible says that you can be refilled. If you've been filled with the Spirit before, you can be refilled. Why do I know that? Because the disciples who were laying hands on people were filled with the Spirit of God again after the 120 in the upper room. They were in the first Pentecost, 120 in the upper room, and then it says they were filled with the Spirit of God again. So that means it can happen over and over again. And the filled, that word there is satiated. Satiated means completely covered. Right? We're going to play that God's not only in us, but covers us, through us, in us, around us, in every aspect that we can. God, we don't know what to do without you. You are the answer. You are the truth. You are the life. You are the resurrection, Jesus. And there's no other way to the Father except through you. And we thank you, Father, that you told your Son that there was going to be a time that you're going to prophesy that God's going to send another. There's going to be a promise from on high that God is going to fill the room. He's going to fill the place. He's going to fill us. He's going to fill your creation. He's going to fill the temples of God. And I ask that right now, these people who are in positions, get in position if you need to. Come to the front if you need to. I'm going to just pray that God is going to do something. These people in positions to receive your power will receive your power. God, I don't tell you what to do, but I know that you told me this week that people are going to be touched. I know, God, for a fact that people will meet with you in a miraculous way. I know for a fact that your fire will come upon people in a new way. There are people in here today that don't know what else to do other than follow you. They don't know what else is going to happen. They have no other answers. And God, today's an answer to prayer because you are here. You're here upon them. Fire God right now from the tippy top of their fingers to the tippy top of their heads to the bottom of their feet, all the way to their souls. I pray for the power and the presence of God to fill them completely. As they ask for your presence, may you come and make yourself known. May the fire of God come and fill them in a supernatural way. Not because of us, God, but because of you. I pray for your glory to fill them for your glory. Church, I just want you to start praying, and I'm going to keep praying as well. If you don't know what to say, just say, God, please come. Come upon me, God. Fill me. Fill me, God. Fill me. Lord, touch me. Do what you did before. Brent, play. Get Brent. We need more sound. It's too quiet. Just sing quietly, Brent, as I just listen to the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Lord, you're a good God, and you give good gifts to your children. We thank you for the greatest gift of Jesus Christ. We thank you for our salvation that set the captive free. We thank you that if we follow after you and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, we shall be saved. But we also thank you for the power and the promise from on high. We thank you for the fire of God. We thank you for Pentecost. We thank you that right now we can be filled to overflowing. We thank you, God, that it's not by our might, but your might. God, we pray that you will fill us to completion. You will satiate us. You will fill us completely. You will saturate us, God, with your presence. I pray that one word will change our life. One touch will change our life. And there's people today that need a touch from you. There is nothing the doctors can say. There's nothing the doctors can do. And they have to have a touch from you. You're the only answer. God, that there's families falling apart right now, and you're the only answer. And they've been trying to preach the gospel, but that's not the angle. You're going to give them a different angle, a different way. You're going to give them a back door to come through, to give them favor to preach the gospel. God, that they're going to reach the lost in their own family, the ones that have run away. I pray for the lost, the ones that have run into the world, the sons and the daughters that are in the world, but they know the truth. Father, wherever they're at, if that's you, I want you to agree with me. If you have a son or a daughter or somebody in your family that is in the world, I want you to agree with me in this prayer. Father, we call forth those people right now. You know where they're at. You know what they're doing. If they're sitting up, if they're laying down, if they're standing, may they feel your tangible presence right now and know that God is with them. And God, I pray that the Holy Spirit will convict their heart of their sin, will convict their heart of the things that they've been doing, will convict their heart of where they've been and where they're going, not to condemn them, but to convict their heart so they can find the answer of hope. And God, at the right time, these family members, these people will speak truth to them, and it will be like a double-edged sword that will go deeper than soul and spirit. It'll go so deep that they will know that God has spoken to them, and they will come back like your word says. They will come back, and the Father will be standing there with a robe and a ring and ready to throw a party because the lost one has come to return. God, we call them forth to return in the name of Jesus. Devil, you will not have their life any longer. Devil, you will not have the things of this world will not be pleasing to them. I pray right now that the Spirit of God will make them sick. When they drink, when they do those drugs, when they're high on meth, God, that they'll be broken by the power and by the blood of Jesus. We call forth right now those ones that are lost. God, I'm calling forth the ones that we know that are living a lifestyle that is not pleasing to you. Whatever capacity that is. Lord, I pray for the perfect love of Christ to teach them what love truly is. It's not only following a feeling, but for the moment. Love is sacrifice. Love is in a person of Jesus. Love is no greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. God, that they will find true love in you. Not love of the world, not love of pleasures of money and power and sex, not love of the things of this world and the enticements of the world, but God, they'll find love in you. Love of the opposite sex, God, or even the love of the same sex or the love of whoever. God, that they won't even find pleasure in those things. They'll find love and pleasure in you. You will find the perfect love of God. I pray for the lost to fill. God, I'm thankful that there's a time and place for people to come in this house for transfer growth. I'm thankful for that because sometimes people need a change and they need to find where they plant their roots. But God, I'm tired of just seeing transfer growth. We need new growth in this church. We need new salvations. We need new freedoms. We need new people coming to Christ. We need the lost coming back to God. We need this place to smell like cigarettes and alcohol and drugs. We need this place to be a place of freedom, a place that is welcome for all people. There ain't no judgment here. There's only the one that brings people to Christ. God, that we are not here to judge the world, but we are here to give the gospel of Jesus to the world. That we are not necessarily the ones that are going to judge anybody who's a sinner, but we're going to come forth and we're going to tell you there is salvation found in Jesus. There is love and hope that you've never will be able to find. There's somebody in here today, right now, this very hour, right now, I feel it, that you've been running in the world and you've been wondering about God, and he says this to you. You're listening to me right now. He says, yes, I am real. I am real. You've been asking that question. I am real. You've heard it and you think people are crazy. You think somebody real close to you has been telling you about God, and you think, man, that person's a little crazy, but I agreed to come today. Might have been your first time, might be the fifth time, but you said, I agree today. And there's somebody in here right now, and God says this to you: I am real, and you are ready. If that's you, whoever brought you or whatever's going on, I want you just to tell them, right? Here in the next few moments, tell them, that message, that word was for me. Will you pray with me? I want to receive Jesus into my heart. God, I thank you right now. Anyone who wants to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, will you just come to the front here? I'm going to quickly just lay my hands on you before we go. And Brent's going to sing a prophetic word or a prophetic song or whatever's going. If you just line up here, I just want to lay hands because the Bible says to do that and receive the Holy Spirit. If you've already received the Holy Spirit, you already feel His presence, stay where you're at. And maybe God will tell you to lay hands on other people around you. I don't know. You just got to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit says. But we want to leave today until somebody is touched from God in a new and miraculous way. We thank you right now, God. May you fill this room. Fill it now. Fill it now. You're going to fill this room with the fire of God in a new and miraculous way. There's a fresh fire coming. He says that I am here, I'm not only here, but I'm honored here. And where I'm honored, I will show up and I will manifest my presence in a supernatural way. I'm gonna purify you today. Those things that you've been saying out of your mouth and in your mind and in your heart, I'm gonna purify it. You're gonna be people of my word. Not people of worry, but people of the word. We thank you, God, that you're doing a new thing. Right now, I pray for the fire of God to come upon him right now. In the name of Jesus, fire come. Fire come. Come. Shurarambo bombo. Fire come. Come, come. Bubamamamambo. Tirarande di 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 bombo bombo bombo. Birarambo bombo 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 bombo. Thank you, God. Fill him, fill him, fill him, fill him. Ubamamama. Shitarambo. Fill him. Fire God come. New, 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 new. I don't desire the old. Hababababa. Shurarambo. New, fresh fire, fresh fire. Fresh fire, fresh fire. There's more. There's more. Fire, fire, come, come. Binararambo, binarambo, bo bombo, binararambo, binanabo, shikarambo. Fire, fire. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Fire, come. Ubabambo. Thank you, God. Fire, fire. Fill, fill in the name of Jesus. Fire, come. Burambo, bombo. Filler, filler. Ooh, new touch, new touch, new touch. New words, new words, new words, new words. New words, new words. Ooh, these are two women of joy. Two women of joy, two women of joy. We thank you right now. Fire come, ubabamba. Fire come, ubarambo.